Welcome everyone to another episode of the Future of BizTech. I am your host, JC Granger, and I have another fantastic guest on the show today. And listen, if you end up loving this episode, please show your love and appreciation by following the podcast wherever you are listening or on YouTube. Be sure to give it that five-star review, preferably with some nice comments on there, because that's how techies like you and I can find cool podcasts like this. So today I have the absolute pleasure of interviewing the co-founder and CEO of Regal.io, Alex Levin. Thank you so much for being on this show. Tell us a little bit about yourself and Regal and what you guys do.
Yeah, thank you for having me. So I've been in the technology industry for a long time now. And my co-founder and I started Regal just over 2 years ago now to build software for B2C sales teams. And people are a little shocked when I say that sometimes. They go, well, there's no such thing as a B2C sales team. You know, don't you mean B2B? But no, it turns out actually that while there's been a lot of software built for teams that do sales on the B2B side, you know, where it's a very complicated sale, very low volume, you know, you pay salespeople quite a lot of money, there's a massive underinvestment in using the phone, using SMS, having a conversation with your customer in the B2C side. And there's thus an underinvestment in the software for that. So in industries like lending, insurance, healthcare, education, local services, it turns out that if you build a website without having a human conversation with the customer, your conversion rate drops way down. And so these are complicated decisions. These are longer decisions you're making, more considered decisions. And it's critical to have a moment where your admissions agent is talking with you. It's critical to have a moment where your healthcare provider is talking to you before you make those decisions. So the software has worked amazingly well. And we now are about to announce that we have reached over $1 billion in revenue driven by our first 100 customers. So I think it's just a small sign that this is something really working for our customers.
Oh, that's awesome. So now, it is interesting, like you said, because we do see a lot of software out there for B2B. So how, like, who's your main client base? There's a lot of e-commerce companies, I imagine. I mean, kind of who is the main people or companies that are buying this type of software from you to help with their B2C side of things?
Yeah, I'd say about half of the consumer economy is retail. So, you know, buying clothing, shoes, pencils, things like that. And about half of the consumer economy is more complicated things like, you know, like I was saying, healthcare, education, local services, insurance. So things for your, you know, your health, your wealth, your kids, your pets, your car, your house. Think about that world. While phone sales works actually in all of those sort of industries, we particularly focus on the more considered industries, because we find that there's faster uptake there. In retail, I think people have been taught for so long that customer service is a call center, talking to your customer is a call center, that we see businesses don't want to provide a higher quality of service to their customer today because they see it as a call center. On the other side, in these more considered categories, they already understand that a key part of the decision-making process is to have a conversation, and they're desperate for software that will help them have more conversations with the right customer in the right moment. And so I'd say we focus much more on that side. There's probably some 50, 60,000 businesses that are, you know, 100 employees or above in this more considered side that need our software.
So what kind of results have your clients been seeing with that? I mean, what kind of standard, you know, if they're doing X, you know, conversion rate after using your systems, where are they usually ending up? I mean, is it massive here or is it more like smaller percentages, but on volume, it makes a big difference? What kind of results have you been seeing?
Yeah, it's pretty striking. So I'll start by going back to my own experience for a second, and then I can talk a little about current customers. But my co-founder and I were at a company called Angie that owns Angie's List and HomeAdvisor and Handy and all these home services brands. We're actually the largest home services provider in the world. And we found that we had built a great digital experience and we were doing, you know, $1.5 billion in revenue on that digital experience. But we found that for a lot of services, our conversion rates online were worse than the offline conversion rates. So like stop for a second. So like you think of technology as building a better mousetrap. We actually built a worse mousetrap, meaning if you just went to an old school paper and pencil guy to install your fence, you'd buy that at a much higher rate than when you went onto the digital site that we had built. What we found though, is if we called somebody and got them on the phone, we could get back up to that same conversion rate. And so it just like opened my eyes. At the beginning, you think this is kind of like a twilight zone. Like, why would anybody answer the phone, right? But it turns out that for these more considered things, you know, people really like it. And so when we call them and say, hey, you have a house, you want a fence installed, they go, oh my God, an internet company wants to talk to me. This is fabulous. And so it really opened our eyes to this opportunity. So today, On average, our customers see about 25% increase in conversion rate. A lot of our customers are already doing phone sales. So it's not, you know, from nothing. They're already doing it, but we're able to give them tools that give them more levers to get customers on the phone, to convert them on the phone, to drive higher average order values. And that's really why I think we've been so successful, is because we represent incremental revenue for the brands we work with. I know a lot has been written out about brands lowering their marketing spend, and they are. They're not going to spend inefficient dollars to get people to their site. But of the people that are coming to their site, that middle of the funnel, they're massively investing in how to convert more of them. And they're massively investing in how to improve retention. And that's why I think we have such a good fit with brands today, is that they are pulling for software like ours that's going to drive higher conversion and higher retention.
I mean, 25%, that is pretty amazing. I mean, you look at any kind of company doing a 10 million bottom line, you know, that's another 2.5 on the books. That's a big deal.
It's a meaningful impact on these businesses. And I'd say, when we go to conferences and we go meet customers that have been doing phone sales. So let's say you're big, a life insurance company, and you've been trying to call customers. The story we hear again and again is that customers have been anti-phone calls, or that the brand has been having a hard time getting customers on the phone. Even though once they get them on the phone, the customers like it. And once they get them on the phone, it leads to more revenue for the brand. And so they, for a long time, thought their only option, and in the old software, it's kind of true, their only option was to call the customer faster or call them more times. And that's a negative cycle, right? The more you call somebody, the faster you call somebody, the less likely they're going to answer over time. The lower the answer rate is going to be over time. And it becomes spam. So we teach brands to do the opposite. We've built software that allows them to use real-time data from the actual behavior of the customer, from first-party data, to drive personalized cadences, personalized messages, change what the channel is, brand the call so that you're engaging people at a much higher rate. On average, our software, people answer about 30% of the time versus the industry average of a 10% answer rate on the phone. So much, much higher answer rate than email, than SMS, and even traditional calls. And then we can help the brand make sure the agents who are in our product, using our product, convert people at a much higher rate in that actual conversation.
So what made you want to start this? I mean, you're the co-founder, right? So, I mean, tell me, what's the villain origin story here, right? Like, what problem were you dealing with? Maybe some corporate job or something, and you're like, oh, we've got to solve this problem. Or was it just something from inception out of nowhere? I mean, what brought you to this idea?
Yeah. So a little bit to what I was talking about, we live this. Like, I was a marketer at Angie, my co-founder ran product. And, we really had this experience. We saw how powerful it was to be selling on the phone. And when we went to the current omnichannel contact center software we use, so we used for a while Genesys, and then for a while Five9, and a while Nice and Contact, we were a big account. And we went to them and said, great, you guys are fantastic at customer service. You built the omnichannel customer server software for customer service. Great. But we have this other use case where we have teams that are proactively reaching out, and here's the set of features we want to improve performance. They told us to go pound sand, like actually. And they said, look, it's just not our business. We have a great business doing customer service. You happen to use one of the features we have for sales. Fine. We're not going to take it away from you, but we're not building new features for you. So I think those companies sort of just made us realize, like, that there just wasn't anybody going after this opportunity. And so it led us to sort of, from a place of necessity, go and start the business. I'd say the other big realization for both my co-founder and I was that when we started in this home services business, it was doing $1 million in revenue. It was 20 people. By the end, we were doing $1.5 billion in revenue. We were thousands of people. We weren't having as much fun at that scale. We love being builders, and we wanted to go back to the beginning and start. So it was a nice match of a situation where we had felt this problem ourselves and knew we wanted to go back and build something. And, it just was good timing.
That's awesome. So how have you guys been growing? I mean, how old is the company, and what have you been doing for your own internal growth? Maybe marketing guys. So marketing wise.
Yeah. So we're only 2 years old. We've had quite a run of it so far. So we went from 0 to 100 customers, and I don't know if it's been released publicly exactly what the ARR is, but quite a bit of an ARR in 2 years. And it's not been through marketing. So that's what's interesting. Like, the first year was only founder-led sales. So it was just me for the first year. And the second year, we added some AEs. And so they've been very successful. And we just hired our first marketing hire a month and a half ago. So next year now, we're going to start layering in marketing. Again, just an indication of like how much demand there is. And with our current funnel, we see about 30% of the sales qualified leads we get close. And on average, they close in about 35 or 40 days. So it's just a sign of how much product market fit there is that the close rate is so high and then so quickly. And we have a pretty large average contract value. So, you know, between a $50,000 and $100,000 average contract value. So that's a very fast close for that size contract.
Does your tech company have the right marketing systems and strategies in place so you don't have to do it all yourself? Are you frustrated that you're not getting the ROI on your marketing budget that you know you should? Well, my agency, Infinity Marketing Group, can help. For the last 10 years, we've been helping companies just like yours make huge returns on their marketing budget. So for more information, go to our website, www.infinitymgroup.com, or you can email us at info@infinitymgroup.com. Or if you prefer the phone, give us a call at 303-834-7344 to find out how we can help your tech company make more money. Now back to the show.
That's awesome. Well, let's talk a little bit about the future here, right? So it's called the future of biz tech. So we'll dive into that. First question is, where do you see your industry going in the next, you know, 5 or 6, 7 years or whatnot? And, you know, like you and your competitors combined, the people who are in that kind of B2C software space, not that there's a lot, it sounds like, right? But just where do you see that evolving?
Yeah. So, you know, I think there's a very heavy investment currently on the B2C side in marketing technology, selling to a marketer, you know, doing marketing automation. That's become very pervasive and people have gotten the message that you shouldn't be sending random blasts to people, you should be doing that. On the sales side, to your point, there's not really much out there. So we don't see much competition on this side today. I expect over time there will be. But, you know, we're out there bringing that sort of that mission to people and saying, you know, you're a sales professional, but you should be using more sophisticated technology that allows you to identify the right people to talk to, have the right message, you know, use AI when necessary, use automation when necessary to drive better outcomes. And so I think all of this sales software for B2C is our opportunity. It's ours for the taking. You know, if we do it right, you know, we could be the default CRM, the sort of Salesforce, so to speak, of B2C sales. In the same way Salesforce has become the default for B2B sales, we do think there's an opportunity to build out a lot of software of different sort of aspects of this part of the go-to-market motion for B2C companies. I'd say if I fast forward, like our biggest goal is to help these brands have more conversations. So today we drive about 3.5 to 4 million conversations a month for the brands we work with. So that's incredible. Like those are conversations that would have not happened otherwise that are leading to a better experience for the customer, more revenue for the brand. And so we hope that one day everybody has that. So, you know, I hope that one day when I'm going in and booking a flight and I make a mistake, the airline automatically calls me and goes, Mr. Levin, we know you were trying to really book a flight to New York. We see you made this mistake. Let us help you solve this. Or if I'm going and trying to book health insurance and they see that I get stuck because I don't know some information about my old health insurance, they call me and they go, you know, Mr. Levin, you know, I know everything that there is to know about, you know, this product. I'm here to help you. So think back to 100 years ago, perhaps, when people walked into a hotel or a club and they'd go, oh, we know you, sir, you know, or ma'am, here's your favorite table, here's your favorite drink. They could do that because they sort of got to know you one-on-one. Online, we have a better advantage. We can take all the information at scale that we know about a customer and do things that are really personalized for them. And we can start making service a differentiation in online instead of it being something that people think of as the boogeyman. So stop thinking of customer service or human touch as a call center and start thinking about it as a differentiator.
Yeah, it's almost like a personalized, you know, assistant in a way, right? You know, like a customer care personalized assistant. You know, you
get reaching out.
Yeah. Sometimes you get that from like, depending if you're like got a certain status with an airline or a credit card, but you're saying this could be, this is something that could be applicable and scalable toward all customers, regardless of status, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the example that I sometimes give is in the gaming industry, people know about the idea of whales. And there are, you know, casinos that specifically assign someone to help a whale and make sure that they have a great experience. Casinos are unable to give that experience to everybody today. And it's a shame. They would love to, but they don't have the software that allows them to provide everyone the same level of personalized support. So, you know, if they had the right software, they could start giving more people that level of personalized attention. So I think it's just an example where the industry as a whole understands it's valuable, but doesn't have the technology that enables them to do it for everybody.
Well, I mean, do you have casinos as clients? Because that seems like a pretty damn good idea right there.
Yeah, we have online gaming clients, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I could see you guys attacking Vegas pretty hard with this. That, I mean, like you said, I mean, they're all about the personalized care, and if they can offer that to everyone, that's even more amazing. All right, so then we went over a little bit of this in your explanation here, but focusing more specifically on your company, where do you guys see yourself in the next kind of 3 to 5 years? You know, what's coming down the pipeline roadmap wise for my very information greedy audience that likes to hear things first?
Yeah, of course. So I say a few things. When we started the company, like we did it, like I said, because we were builders and we wanted to be back early and we love this opportunity. And when we bring employees on, we commit to two things. One, that we're going to build a big standalone, you know, company in this space, because it is quite a unique space and there's a lot of opportunity. And two, that we're going to make the equity they have worth a lot, meaning we're going to increase revenue and keep dilution from raising money low. So like at a very high level, that's how we think about the goals internally for people, both the sort of opportunity as a company and the opportunity for individuals. I think that, you know, the North Star to what I said is we hold ourselves to how many conversations can we drive for our customers? How much incremental revenue do we drive for them? If we're driving more revenue, more conversations, then great, we did our job. If we're not, doesn't matter how sexy the technology is. So I start that way because it's not that we're doing this because the technology is sexy. We're doing this because it really has an impact on businesses and on their consumers. From the technology side, you know, we're lucky. A lot of businesses have understood that they should be moving to an event-based infrastructure internally to be, you know, using the things that customers are doing to drive personalized actions in marketing channels. What they haven't done is done that same work for sales. So when you think about our technology stack, we continue to deepen our integrations with systems internally, both to receive the event-based data and for us to send all the interesting information we get, like the conversation that was just had, the disposition, what channel the customer likes to talk in, and send that back into the brand so they can continue to, in other channels, personalize the outreach that they're having. If in a conversation we learn that you're looking for plumbing, well, the next time you go to the site, it should show you plumbing, right? So we can actually marry from a data perspective all that information. And we play a very critical role because in many of our customers' cases, the identifier that they get first on a customer is a phone number. And then the system that gets the most information early on that customer is Regal. So we actually have the best accurate, you know, most accurate source of data on that customer before any other system internally. So like that puts us in a very good place and we'll continue to invest in that side of the business. I'd say the second thing that we'll continue to invest in is the journey builder. So we have a pretty sophisticated journey builder that's been built out for conversational use cases. There are plenty of journey builders out there for one-way marketing, you know, whether it's HubSpot or Salesforce or you know, Braze or Iterable, all built for one-way emails, one-way SMS. In conversations, a very different dynamic. You have to change things constantly based on what's actually happening in the back and forth. So we continue to invest in the journey builder. And then I think that we've started now to make bigger investments in what I call intelligence or an AI, in taking the information that we get and using it to help the brands do smarter things, using it to help the agents do smarter things. And as you're starting to see now, even the ability to automatically suggest, you know, a language for what should be said next and some of these new models from OpenAI, I think there's massive opportunity for us to you know, keep the human in the loop, but enhance the ability for that human to do things. So out of business hours, well, how do you make the customer still feel like somebody's engaging with them? Or if the agent can't respond right away because they're doing something else, how do you send them a text that's very personalized to that person so that it feels like the agent is still engaging with them? So there's a lot we can do to continue to enhance the capabilities of an agent so that in the end, our goal is that one sales agent can double the number of conversions they're making. If we can use technology to make them more money, then everybody's happy.
That's awesome. Now, and this is why I do this podcast too, because it's really interesting to have such a different type and innovative softwares that come on. And again, like you said, there's so many for B2B And you see, e-commerce is one of the biggest online drivers of economy that there is, right? And when you attach something like this, especially that personalized touch, you know, that conversion rate, like you're saying, you're running 25% increased conversion rate. That's insane. So I love this. I want to ask you a more personal slash business question. It's more, you know, you guys are new-ish, right? Couple years. Startups are chaotic, right? You learn a lot in the process. If you could give one piece of advice to any other startup, you know, kind of entrepreneurs, techies listening, you know, what's something that like, what was one of the biggest surprises you had? You're like, crap, I did not see that coming. And how would you maybe, you know, anticipate that? What just going down that road to help people out?
Yeah. So we've been very lucky, like things have gone to plan. So like, I don't have much that's not gone to plan currently in this company, but I've certainly in other companies had situations where things have not gone to plan. I'd say, you know, first and foremost, if you're the founder, you know, do it with somebody else, you know, that you really trust, that you really can spend time with, because this is going to be a roller coaster. There's going to be great times and there are going to be terrible times. And you have to have somebody who can go through that with you. You can't do it alone. It's really too hard. So I always start there. I think in terms of the business, our opinion, our perspective is that execution is what differentiates businesses, especially these days. And so, you know, if you're a founder, you know, exercise that skill, get better at execution. If you're going to work for a founder, go find founders who are great at execution. It's fine if they have a big vision, but if they don't know how to execute it, you're not going to go anywhere. So emphasize execution. As an example, you know, find people who understand how to break down very tactical goals. Find people who know how to make decisions quickly, how to use data to make decisions easier, how to empower organizations to be successful, how to hire the right sort of people. You know, if they don't know how to do those things, or if you don't yet how to do those things, like go and practice, because those are the critical things that make companies successful. Again, it's fine to have a big vision, but if you can't follow through, you're not going to go anywhere.
Yeah. And the hiring part, I can relate to that one. You know, I think a lot of companies, they don't put as much emphasis on the vetting of higher level positions. You know, they maybe just look at, you know, where were they previously and are they available? It's like, that's not enough. You got to have culture fit, drive fit. So there's a lot there. Well, listen, I'm glad you're on the podcast. Thank you for coming. How can people reach first the website or, you know, your company? And then secondly, maybe you personally somehow, if they're trying to do some higher level deals.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're, you know, a B2C marketer, a B2C sales team, and you're very interested in driving more revenue, check out our website at regal.io. You can always email me at hello@regal.io. And if you're, you know, a new founder, I'd say, you know, number one piece of advice, make sure you're building B2B SaaS. I was in the B2C world for a long time and B2B SaaS is much better. I wish 10 years ago, somebody had told me that. Feel free to reach out if there's anything that I can help with.
Awesome. And for everyone listening out there, again, if you liked what you heard today, be sure to subscribe to the podcast or YouTube, give it a 5-star rating, preferably some writing behind it, so that other techies like us can find and enjoy learning all about these amazing and helpful softwares out on the market today. Alex, thank you so much for being on the show. And I actually look forward to checking out and maybe doing a little demo with you on your software there. I'm going to check it out.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much for listening to another episode of The Future of BizTech. I hope you got great value out of our discussion today. If so, be sure to subscribe to my podcast and rate it 5 stars. This helps the podcast jump in the ratings to help other techies like you and I find it too. And remember, if you own or work for a B2B tech company and you're looking for highly targeted, hot leads delivered to your inbox daily, my agency, Infinity Marketing Group, can help. We've been in business since 2010 and have helped hundreds of companies just like yours make millions of dollars in marketing and lead gen ROI. So be sure to visit our website at www.infinitymgroup.com. That's infinitymgroup.com. Or you can email us at info@infinitymgroup.com. Or you can call us at 303-834-7344. We look forward to talking with you. And I look forward to you listening to my next episode of Future of BizTech.